Europe considers stimulus American style.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Join Me, an instant online meeting app used by millions of people to collaborate and get work done anywhere. More at join.me.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for David Brancaccio, with the global perspective on business and economics. The European Central Bank is considering U.S.-style economic stimulus, the famous quantitative easing to kickstart growth. Here to talk with us is economist Rob Carnell with ING in London. Good morning, Rob.
Morning.
So, Rob, ECB President Mario Draghi had some strong words this week about the possible monetary policy to avoid deflation, negative interest rates, large-scale bond purchases. What do you make of this news?
The ECB's real problem is the level of the currency, the euro, which has just got too strong in recent months and is beginning to weigh on the ability of some of the weaker countries to export. So that's what they really want to do. All the other stuff they talk about is to try to get the market to think, you know what, they might actually do some of this stuff. Perhaps we shouldn't be holding quite as much euro because it is likely to weaken in that event.
What do you think of the possibility that the central bank might use some of the tactics that we've used in this country, like quantitative easing?
Well, it's more likely than it was when they said they were never going to do it. They now seem to have opened the door to at least the concept of doing it in theory. But I think the reality is the ECB is relatively relaxed about the backdrop. It would like more growth. It would like lower unemployment rates. But it does see the growth path as moving in a positive direction. So all their arguments for maybe using some of these policies may look a little less obvious. And we've probably seen all the easing we're going to.
Rob Carnell is the chief international economist for ING in London. Rob, thank you.
Thank you.
Word of economic stimulus has markets on the rise this morning. London's FTSE is up 0.5%. Germany's DAX is up 0.33%. U.S. markets lost ground yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average ticked down to 16,572. In an effort to control healthcare costs, hospitals and doctors in the country are forming accountable care organizations, or ACOs. From the health desk at WHYY, Dan Gorenstein has more.
Jargon like accountable care organization hurts the ears. But Mark Homowicki with the Camden Coalition of Healthcare Providers says the concept is pretty basic.
Spend more money on primary care in order to keep people out of the hospitals.
Here's how this will work. Insurers give the hospitals and docs a chunk of money to care for the some 32,000 Medicaid patients in the city. The idea is to make it really easy to get primary care and avoid unnecessary hospitalizations and ER visits. If so, Homowicki says it'll rain.
We think we could save anywhere from 5 to 10%. That's millions of dollars a year.
The challenge, says Mark McClellan with the Brookings Institution, is Medicaid patients often struggle.
They may not have regular homes. They may have trouble with adhering to or even getting their medications. They may have other stresses in their lives, and that is hard work to do.
As one of about a dozen Medicaid ACOs, Camden is on the front lines of the front lines of health reform, says McClellan, and people are watching. If it works here, Camden becomes a national model. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by United Healthcare, with information on doctors, treatment options, and cost estimates for patients to make educated health decisions online at uhc.com. And by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works. Education reporting on Marketplace is supported in part by the Kresge Foundation, working to expand opportunities in America's cities. More at Kresge.org.
Home foreclosures are sweeping across the country again, and most are coming from states like Florida and Maryland that delayed the foreclosure process. Nancy Marshall Genzer has the story.
Christina Harris is one of thousands of Maryland homeowners riding this second foreclosure wave. The final step in her foreclosure came 2 weeks ago when she was forced to leave her home in Prince George's County, Maryland. Well, Harris and her three kids had to leave.
This is everybody.
How
Say
are
hi.
You?
Hi. Hi.
How are you doing?
She's all right.
Harris is a single mom, so wherever she goes, her kids go. They met me at a local NAACP office. The NAACP works to keep people out of foreclosure. We sit down, and Harris tells me her story. It starts when she was laid off in 2009.
There was a moment there where there was no job for a few months.
Harris got another job, but she still needed a loan modification. She went back and forth with her bank. Then one day, someone left a note on her garage door. It said,
"You have 72 hours to leave."
Harris fought the eviction for a few years before she and her kids finally left and moved in with family. Foreclosures in Maryland take almost 2 years on average because, like about half the states, Maryland requires lenders who want to foreclose to go through the courts. So now Maryland has the second highest foreclosure rate in the country.
I believe it's one in 543 homes is filing for a foreclosure.
That's Marceline White, the executive director of the Maryland Consumer Rights Coalition. She says it's not that unusual for people to keep living in foreclosed homes since the foreclosure process takes so long. We met in Prince George's County and saw a home that had been foreclosed upon, but did look lived in.
It's clearly occupied. The person likes to do water sports. There's a little ski jet. Their car's in the driveway.
But the pace of foreclosure proceedings in Maryland appears to be picking up. Darren Bloomquist is vice president at Realty Track. He says this second foreclosure wave is cresting.
I would guess sometime this year, Maryland would turn the corner. We'd start to see the numbers go back down.
Bloomquist says that's already happening in some second wave states like Florida. In Prince George's County, Maryland, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, when you're getting cereal at the grocery store, do you ever feel like you're being watched? Well, it turns out you are. A study from Cornell University found cereal mascots like Cap'n Crunch and Toucan Sam are designed to make direct eye contact with kids. The characters look downward at an angle of 10 degrees to catch kids' eyes. Eye contact apparently increases feelings of trust and connection with the brand. That and the sugar, of course. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks and budgets and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things.
The big trends are leather and lace.
I think that the studio knows that movie was a mistake.
I love torque like no one really should.
Oreos and milk.
I'm Kai Rizdon. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a little chuckle, we'll have it for you next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.